This year, we are celebrating the hymn Silent Night through our Advent series, Calm and Bright. On this third Sunday of Advent, we are looking at the beautiful third verse, Son of God, loves pure light, with the dawn of redeeming grace, and we're looking at it through the birth narrative of John's Gospel. John's birth story doesn't start with Mary and Joseph, angels and shepherds, and there's no innkeeper or manger. The details seem somewhat unimportant to John. You could almost miss that this scripture is a Christmas story if you didn't know that they were connected. John finds it more important for us to understand why God chooses to come into our world and the effect it has on our world, why God would leave the heavens and choose life with us, why would the Creator of all come to live in the midst of the creation. But God is coming to be the light of the world. This isn't the first time that God reaches out to humanity. We know that. We know that God created the world and placed us in it, but that didn't keep us from wandering away from God. In God's graciousness, leaders were sent and empowered, like Moses, who led the people out of slavery and almost into the promised land, but that didn't keep humanity from coming out of love with God. There were kings and judges and prophets, but still humanity lived out their broken relationship with God. And out of grace, God never gives up on his children, and this time God is coming. God is putting on flesh and coming to us as love's pure light. Light is an interesting thing. Light is brightest in the darkness. If you've ever been in complete darkness, where you really can't see, you know it's a welcome sight when the light appears. When our district superintendent, Charles Boyu, was here on Wednesday evening, he told a story about some missionaries in Africa. And in it, he talked about how the darkness happens as night comes in a place where there's no electricity, no street lights, and if the moon's not out, it gets so dark you can't see each other coming. Imagine how beautiful a sunrise is there. Some of you will remember I took a trip to Haiti after the hurricane a few years ago. Haiti's electrical system is sketchy at best, even when times are good. As a result of the hurricane, the electricity was hardly working at all when we went. The guest house we stay in usually uses the electricity provided by the city of Jeremy during the daytime, but that's turned off in the evening. So when it's turned off, the guest house uses a generator that's powered by batteries, just like car batteries. But those batteries are charged during the day when the electricity is on. And it takes a lot of batteries to power the house. Well, after the hurricane, the electricity wasn't working well, not for most of the hours in the day, and the batteries were never fully charged. We never knew how long we would have light in the evening. It was important to get ready for bed early because when the lights went out, it got dark. It was important that we get our work done. You know, with our light, we were able to put things together for the next day. We packed rice and beans. We tracked our money. We were able to do the projects that we were working on, but as soon as the lights went out, we were done. I imagine it was like the darkness that sweeps over Africa in some places at night. We had a few flashlights, but not very much. And our phones were only good as long as we could charge them. On this particular trip, we had a beautiful view of the ocean, only because all the trees had been stripped of their foliage. But it also meant that we could see when day was breaking. It was such a comfort to see the light begin to show through the darkness. It was a reminder to me every morning that God had not forgotten the people living in Haiti. He had not forgotten us. God had not forgotten the people who were struggling with darkness. The light of the world is still present with us and the people of Haiti. Christ is the true light that breaks through the darkness. For the people of Haiti, life is hard every day. Sometimes it's hard to believe that there is light in the darkness. And sometimes that's true for all of us. This time of year can be difficult for some people. We live in a world that doesn't always feel like Christmas joy. In our lives, People are struggling with health concerns for loved ones and themselves. Families are broken or estranged. Christmas gatherings aren't always pleasant. Paychecks don't make it to the end of the month, much less pay for gifts and the festivities of the season. Darkness can overcome us, even as we sing jingle bells, deck the halls, and joy to the world. And the news from around the world and in our communities is filled with violence and depressing news, wars and bomb threats and weather disasters, people still struggling for clean water and a safe place to live. The mental health of our young people is fragile. Depression, anxiety, eating disorders are more and more common. Just this past week, a 13-year-old in Brighton committed suicide. 13. Leaving his family and friends to wonder how the darkness was so strong in him. Leaving me explaining to some of my dance students that God is the God of love and grace. That Jesus is our light in the midst of our darkest hours. And this young man is still a beloved child of God. All of this in the midst of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And yet, again this year, in God's graciousness, the light comes into our world as an act of redeeming grace. Jesus, the light of the world, is the light that cannot be overcome by the darkness. The first chapter of John is an introduction to the whole book, what it means for Jesus to be a light in the world as he lives and walks with us and humanity. In chapter 3, there's Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus in the darkness to ask questions. And Jesus talks to him about new birth, new ways of living, and it ends with living in the light. In chapter 8, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And soon after, heals a blind man, taking him out of the darkness. Just before raising Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11, Jesus challenges his disciples to walk in the light and to keep from stumbling in the darkness. If you would like to explore more what it means for Jesus to be love's pure light, spend some time this month in the Gospel of John. So God's redeeming grace was present in Jesus when he walked on the earth. But you might wonder if the light is still present today. On Tuesday night at confirmation, I gave students their new Bibles, and we were talking about the birth of Christ. When one of our youth, who will remain nameless to protect the innocent, said, "You know what I realized?" And I said, "What?" And this person said, "The Bible talks about Jesus. The Bible talks about Jesus being born and dying on the cross, and then he rose from the dead and was alive." "Yes," I waited. "It never tells us he died again, so Jesus must still be alive." You know, that student is right. Jesus is alive, and we shouldn't forget that he's alive and the light of our world. The redeeming grace of God that came into the world in the midst of the chaos in Bethlehem is still alive in our world today. God's redeeming grace, the living Christ, is seen in the lives of people whose lives reflect God's love, whose hearts are filled with the love they receive through their relationship in Christ. The other day on the Today Show, Kathy Lee Gifford announced her plans to leave the show in April. Like her or not, it doesn't matter really, but you can't disagree that she's very open about her faith and talks about it naturally. It's such a big part of who she is that it just comes out. If you follow her, you know that she's had some dark times in her life. Rumors about her husband and her husband's passing were very public for her. She chose to live graciously so that everyone could see God's light in her. And you knew she trusted God not to let her down. As she was talking about her departure, Chanel Jones, one of the weekend hosts, who sometimes comes on during the weekdays, wanted to share how Kathy was encouraging. So one day, when Chanel was getting ready to do a weekday segment, she wasn't really feeling it, and she wasn't feeling good about it. And she mentioned to Kathy that she wasn't feeling really good about being there that morning. And she says, "Kathy just took my hands, and she said, 'Lord, let your light shine through Chanel today.'" That's just what she did. It was natural. On Wednesday, Kathy went on to explain her faith. People think that our faith is something that comes out on weekends, at a church, a temple, a mosque, or wherever you go. But the Bible says in God, we live, move, and have our being It's every nanosecond of our lives. The redeeming grace of God in Christ is with us every nanosecond of our lives. Love's pure light shines through us. Those who have experienced that light of Christ in our lives are called to reflect that light to the rest of the world. How can we be grace givers to others? Our kingdom projects have shown the light of Narden Park into our community far and wide. The presents from the Giving Tree were delivered to Operation Common Good's office last week by people on our mission team. For those of you who might not know, but you do now because the Shays talked about Operation Common Good as part of the Farmington area schools and how they care for students who are homeless and living in impoverished situations. Teresa, one of the staff members that we were talking to, loved the idea of our kingdom assignment. She talked about the crock pots that Pat Lang and Peggy Aronowski were collecting and all the warm outerwear that had come through Pat and Peggy and our youth and now the Shays and Coles. It's really wonderful. I also want to mention how the light must be shining at the Coles that was called, because I imagine that whoever took that call got off the phone and said, "Do you want to know what this church is doing?" I mean, that must be pretty amazing. This light is being shown far and wide. And it's also really wonderful when someone sees the light and begins reflecting it in their own way. A Boy Scout troop we sponsor was looking for a service project. They heard about the crock pots and decided to make kits of non-perishable food and recipes to make those crock pots work for people who are living in our hotels. It's so great. God's grace is lighting up the world all around us. God's redeeming grace lit up the world for 35 people right here in our own building. Some of our members have worked hard with SOS this week. SOS is the South Oakland shelter, and it rotates from place to place, mostly houses of worship. And this past week, they had no place to be. Their plans had fallen through. And so we received a phone call that said, "Can you house us this week?" And we were like, well, you know, we plan like three to four months on this. We're usually signing up all summer long for, you know, 1 week. I don't know if we can really, you know. And then they said, 35 people, including children and youth, will be on the street. It is December, after all. We don't want to be the innkeeper. And so 35 people came and saw the light of Christ here in this building. Thank you to all of you who served. Redeeming grace has been witnessed through our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's been witnessed through godly play teachers, through the many caregivers in our congregation. It's known in our generosity and love for others. When we open ourselves to be the light of Christ in the world, we can be grace. For those who are struggling with despair and hopelessness, the light in us can offer hope and courage. For those whose darkness is brokenness, we can offer the light of wholeness in Christ. For those whose darkness is filled with illness and grief, we can offer the light of comfort, companionship, and the promise of resurrection. Marcia McPhee asked the question, "What would the world look like if love's pure light was at the center of all we do, of all we create?" What would the world look like if love's pure light was the center of everything we do? Made in the image of the one who is grace upon grace, how are we to nurture relationships that birth, multiply, and radiate grace in the world? We are called to follow the light of God, the one who gave up his life for us. We are called to get out of our comfort zones and take risks to extend the fullness of grace and love to all we encounter. We are followers of the Son of God, love's pure light, the dawn of redeeming grace. Amen.